Haggai chapter 1. The title of the message is, What Should I Seek? Now, Haggai's name means festival of the Lord. He must have some good news for sinners. His name means festival of the Lord. Now, Haggai was a prophet who was born while in captivity in Babylon. And he prophesied, his ministry, his recorded ministry, just lasts for 4 months. He prophesied right after the time Israel was set free from their 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And he was sent to correct God's people and at the same time to comfort God's people. His message is meant to stir up the hearts of God's people, to inspire them to devotion to their God, to inspire them to worship and to serve their God. Now you remember the story, we've covered it in our study in Isaiah and through these minor prophets. The Lord moved Cyrus. He moved him to conquer the world and to send the Jews back from their captivity in Babylon. And he sent them back with the commandment from him and the instruction for them to rebuild Jerusalem, to go back and to rebuild the temple and to restore the right worship of the Lord. And the people initially came back with a lot of zeal, very happy. But the work was sporadic. They began the work and then they met opposition and different reasons. They stopped working. Now they laid the foundation of the new temple. But then for 15 years, the work stopped. There was no work for 15 years. And that's what the Lord sent Haggai to deal with, this delay in the building or the rebuilding of the temple. And throughout his prophecy, four different times, Haggai tells us, now you consider something. You consider this. And what I want us to look at this morning is he tells us, consider your ways. Consider the ways of your heart. Verse 1 of chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time's not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now the people stopped working on the temple, mostly because of opposition from the heathen around them. They just didn't go on with the work, because if they're going to continue the work of rebuilding the temple with this opposition of the heathen, they're going to be put in an uncomfortable position. If they're going to take a stand for the truth, they're going to have to get out of their comfort zone. They're going to have to deal with this matter of the opposition of the heathen, and they just didn't want to do it. So they began to lay the foundation, and then they left the rest of it in ruins. And every day, for 15 years, they walked by those ruins. They were unaffected by it. And they blamed their laziness. They blamed their indifference to the worship of the Lord on God's providence. They said, well, it's just not time that the Lord would have us rebuild it. You know, it's just not the Lord's will right now. Now, that sounds like a nice doctrinal position, doesn't it? Oh, you know, we're Calvinists and we believe in God's will. It's not God's will we rebuild the temple. Well, that kind of sounds good, except for this. That was wrong. God had told them, you go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. I'll be with you. I'll supply everything that you need. And they blamed their indifference. They blamed their laziness on God. And the real problem, and Haggai makes it obvious to us here, they had the time and the money to spend on building, but they wanted to spend all that, their time and their money, on building their house, not the house of the Lord, not a house of worship. Look at verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, a sealed house, that means a house with wainscot in it. It was not just, their house was finished. They polished it up. They gave their houses a lot of curb appeal. They put a lot into it. While the house of the Lord lay waste. They spent all their time and their money on making themselves nice houses, but they didn't lift a finger to restore the house of the worship of the Lord. Now, it's obvious to us, sitting back here reading this, that's so ungrateful. The Lord had just delivered them from 70 years of captivity. 70 years, they were just miserable in this captivity. They wouldn't sing the songs of praise. They were just so miserable. And Haggai says, now, is this right? Is this the right attitude for us to have? He said, tell you what, you decide. He says in verse 5, consider your ways. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And he's confident if you consider your ways, you're going to have to conclude this is the wrong attitude. To waste all this that we have, this time and money, on us while we let the house of worship lie in ruins. Now we have to ask ourselves here this morning, how much of this attitude is in us, is in our flesh? We've been given a great salvation in Christ. Are we willing to serve Him? Out of love and thanks, are we willing to serve Him? Are we willing to serve Him first? We've been given a glorious gospel. The gospel of Christ is glorious, good news. God's given that to us. Are we willing to preach it? Are we willing to get out of our comfort zone and take a stand for the truth? Are we willing to support the preaching of Christ like it's the most important thing in this life? Or do we seek our own comfort first? Do we take care of ourselves first and then whatever's left over we give to God? That's what they're doing, isn't it? And you know, the new temple that they were building was much smaller than the temple that Solomon built. And there are people still alive who remembered Solomon's temple. And they thought, this is a small temple. This is a small building. It just doesn't seem like it's worth much effort. Well, do we do that? Do we look at God's great works of the past and think, well, this is a small work. It's just not worth the effort. You know, I'd give a lot of time and a lot of money to support a work as big as Spurgeon's was at Metropolitan Tabernacle. You know, all those people, thousands of people. Well, that'd take a lot of work, and I'd be willing to do a lot of work to support that. But now this small work, it doesn't need much. Well, God says, consider your ways. Are we willing to serve God in our day? Are we willing to serve our generation? That's the question. Are we serving our great God? God's just great today as He was in Spurgeon's day. Are we willing to serve our great God, or are we just willing to serve, you know, based in proportion to how much blessing we think God's given us? And if that's our attitude, we can expect God not to bless us. Look here at verse 6. He said, you sow much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, now you consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, whatever you could gather and bring it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Now the Lord says, you're putting all this work into your flesh. You're putting all this work and time and energy into yourself, but you're not getting anywhere, are you? You're doing all this work, trying to heap all this upon yourselves, but you don't have anything to show for it. You just keep doing all this activity that's supposed to bring joy and pleasure to the flesh, but it's not working. I mean, look, you still don't have any joy or peace, do you? You keep planning all these things to store these things up for yourself, but all these events just keep seeming to come out of nowhere working against you. Wonder why? Wonder why this is happening? Well, God said, I'm doing it. I'm doing it because my house lies waste. You're heaping all this on yourself first. You're thinking of self first and not serving the Lord first. And we can expect the same thing when we think of self first, not God first. Now, let me make this clear. We do not serve the Lord so that He'll bless us, because that would be trusting in works, wouldn't it? That's not why we serve the Lord. A child of God desires to live as an obedient child because we love the Savior. Not because we're trying to get something from Him, but because we love Him, because He's already blessed us so much. We desire to serve Him out of a thankful heart. But this is also true. We cannot expect the Lord's blessings if we live outside of His will and outside of His way. Now Haggai says, consider your ways. There are things that we're to consider and to do first. That's what he's saying here. Well, you know, Scripture is full of teachings of things like that. There are several things Scripture teaches us to seek first. Put these things ahead of self and ahead of flesh. First, look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge over, or a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And rather than thinking, I have room to bestow all my fruits, I think I'll give them away. You know, give them to help people. No, he said, I'm going to store them all up, save them for myself. In verse 19, I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. And you know that means no anxious thought. Don't put too much thought and worry for your life. What ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And as with taking thought, which of you can add one day into your life? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, it's very easy for us to get caught up taking care of this flesh, isn't it? We like it. I want to get mine. Whether it's an inheritance or it's another pot of money somewhere, I want to get mine. I want to get my share of everything that's out there so I can get everything I can get. Well, if we get a bunch of it, what's going to happen to it? We're just going to die and leave somebody else. That's what's going to happen to it. We get so caught up providing for this flesh. And when we clothe our flesh in the very best that we can do, we find out God's flowers are prettier than us. When we do the best that we can do to store up and save for ourselves, we found out God provides for the birds better than we provide for ourselves. We think about this flesh. You ought to think about it. God gave you a body. You ought to take care of it. But when we do everything we can do to preserve this flesh, we can't even add one day to it. And if we could, it'd just be full sorrow. So consider your ways. What should we seek first? Well, Matthew's account says it even more plainly than Luke's. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first His righteousness. And the rest of this will be added unto you. Well, how do I do that? How do I first seek the kingdom of God? How do I first seek His righteousness? It's simply by seeking Christ. It's seeking to be found in Christ. That's how I'm in the kingdom of God, by being in Christ. That's how I'm made righteous, by being in Christ. So first, before you seek anything else, seek Christ. Seek to be found in Him without any hope of anything you've ever done. Seek the righteousness of Christ to be imputed to you, to make you righteous before God. And seek Christ's righteousness to be imparted to you. Imparted to you in the new birth. If you're going to enter the kingdom of God, what did our Lord tell Nicodemus? You've got to be born again. Then seek that life. Seek that life that God gives in the new birth. Seek Christ first. Before you seek anything else, with all of your time and with all of your energy, because Christ is most important. Without Christ, we cannot have life. Then seek Him first. All right, now look over at 1 Corinthians 15. First, we're to seek Christ and His righteousness. Second, we're to seek first the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, most important of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now Paul says, first of all, we're to preach the gospel. First of all means this is the most important thing we can do, to preach the gospel. We're to preach the gospel that declares salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that's declared in picture throughout all the Old Testament Scriptures. We're to preach the gospel that declares Christ as pictured in all those Old Testament sacrifices. That's how Christ died for His people according to the Scriptures. He died as a sacrifice for the sin of His people. He died as the sin bearer of His people. That's how He took the sin of His people away. He bore it away through His sacrifice. He died as the substitute for His people. That's what all those lambs were pictures of every year when they observed the Passover. That Passover lamb's a substitute. Christ died as a substitute for His people. He died the death that we deserve for our sin so that we live in Him. And the sacrifice of Christ was better than all those animal sacrifices. Because His sacrifice put sin away. His sacrifice pleased and satisfied His Father. We know it did, because Christ rose again on the third day, didn't He? Because the sin charged to Him was gone. And that happened according to the Old Testament Scriptures. We saw it just a few weeks ago in the story of Jonah. Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that fish. And when it finally dawned on him, salvation's of the Lord, that fish vomited him out on dry ground. He came forth after 3 days. And our Lord told the Pharisees that's a picture of Christ being raised again for the justification of His people. Now that's the gospel. Now make the preaching of the gospel your primary goal. Make the preaching of the gospel the primary goal of the church that you support and that you attend. And make hearing the preaching of the gospel your first desire. Get rid of everything that would keep you from hearing the gospel. I'm telling you, get rid of it. If there's something that keeps you from seeking the gospel, get rid of it. Make your first desire to be in the public worship service. Because in the public worship service, we hear what Haggai said. Brethren, gather around, thus saith the Lord. That's where you're going to hear, thus saith the Lord, in the public worship service. Make your first goal, your first appointment of the week to be in the public worship service. Because where did the Savior promise that He'd meet with His people? In the public worship service. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Above all, first of all, seek faith. Faith in Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because this is true, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, first of all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, seek faith in Christ. Seek to trust Christ as all of your salvation. Seek Him to do it all for you. Seek to rest in Christ as your righteousness. That you rest from all of your works because He is your righteousness. He obeyed the law for you. Seek to rest in Him. Seek Christ to make you without sin. This is our great need, to be made without sin. That's what justified is made without sin. What does Scripture say how we're justified? Not by works. By faith. We're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Then seek faith. Seek Christ to be your life. How do the justified ones live? By faith. Then seek faith in Christ first. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Seek love. Seek love. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Above all, make love your goal. Seek first the love of Christ for sinners. Seek His love. And seek the love of Christ in us. Well, how do we seek the love of Christ in us? It's by seeking to show love to others. Just look for a way to show love and kindness to others. That's how we seek the love of Christ in us. Love is an important characteristic of a believer. It's an important part of the life of a believer. Our Lord commanded us. He said, "This is my commandment. You love one another." That's His commandment to us. And He also said this, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you're good Calvinists, that you got your doctrinal ducks straight in a row." No. That you have love one to another. Seek love. Seek to love one another. Seek ways, something you can do to make this a loving place where people love the Lord and love each other. And I tell you how we show our obedience to the Lord. By love. That's how we show it. And we love the Lord, show that love by showing acts of kindness and love to one another. So seek love. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, seek to give. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, their ability, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. I can just see them taking up this offering and Paul saying, "You brethren, you're in poverty. You keep this for yourselves." And they prayed with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, not as we would have expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and then they gave unto us by the will of God. Now give to the Lord first. Before you do anything else, with yourself, with your money, with your possessions, you give to the Lord first. Before you do anything with your money, you give to the Lord first. Because in the Old Testament, we preach the gospel according to the scriptures. Who did the first fruits belong to? They belong to the Lord. Well, I got the first fruits. What if I don't get any more? I'll starve. You give the first fruits to the Lord, didn't you? That was the commandment of the law. And somebody says, well, don't I have to pay my bills? You know, don't I have to save for retirement first? No, you don't. Now, you pay your bills. Whatever bills you got, you pay them. And save for retirement. You know, be wise with what the Lord's given you. But you give first. You won't suffer for it. The churches of Macedonia, Paul says, for to their power, their ability, verse 3, I bear record. They gave beyond their power. They gave beyond their power. And the Lord still enabled them to pay their bills, didn't he? We won't turn over and read it, but you know the story of Elijah. When he came to the widow woman there, and he asked her to fetch him some water. She fetched him some water, and he said, fetch me a little cake. And she said, I just got just a little meal, a little oil, enough left. That's all I've got left is to make two cakes, one for me, one for my son. I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to make that, and then we're going to starve to death. We're going to die. And he said, well, that's fine, but you bring me a cake first. Then for yourself. That's a bold statement, isn't it? That's a bold statement. And you know what? She brought him a cake first. And you know when she did that, you know what she did? She gave up her own self. She gave her own, that was giving herself. This is what I'm going to have to sustain my life. I'm giving it to God's prophet first. She gave of her own self. God blessed her, didn't he? Huh? He blessed her. Now again, please understand me. I'm not telling you to give so the Lord will make you rich. I'm not telling you to give so the Lord will, you know, give you more. Because that's making a work out of giving. But let's give out of a thankful heart for what God's already given. Everything God, the Lord, gave you. And first of all, He's already given you the unspeakable gift. The gift of His Son. How can you not give? So we give because we love the Lord. Look here at verse 8. Paul said, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. We give out of love. And it doesn't show much love to take for ourselves and then give what's left over, does it? No, you give first out of love. And we give following the example of our Savior. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. We give following the example of our Savior. And we give because how the Lord's already blessed us. And we give from a new heart, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So you seek to give first. Now, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 5, verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety, kindness at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now I tell you what he's saying here. You learn piety, kindness at home first. Don't be a religious hypocrite. That's what this is saying. Don't be one thing at home and something else out in public. No, you seek first to be a child of God in heart, not just acting like one in public. Everybody can learn the language. Everybody can learn the catchphrases. Everybody can act, you know, a little bit better out in public, you know, temporarily. I tell you, you seek first to make that real in the heart. First, You show love and kindness and care for your family at home when nobody else is watching. And then you show that same love for your brethren out in public. I'll tell you one thing about children. If you've got children at home, you learn piety at home first. Children will sniff out a religious hypocrite faster than anybody. And you'll turn them away from the gospel. If you're just a mean, selfish, stingy person at home, and you're this sweet, kind, giving fellow out in public, they're going to sniff that out faster than anything. You turn them away from the gospel. So seek first to show piety at home. Have that be real in the heart. Now, one more scripture, Mark chapter 9. Seek true humility. Mark chapter 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves by the way? He noticed they were fussing and arguing amongst themselves by the way. But they held their peace. They were ashamed to tell him. They considered their ways and said, oh, this isn't good. So they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Seek first true humility. How foolish is it of us to argue who's going to be the greatest in the presence of the Lord? I tell you, seek first true humility. You'll be a whole lot easier to get along with, and this place will be more pleasant if everybody seeks true humility. And it's not difficult. Just seek to be the last one to get recognition or praise for something. And seek to make sure others get recognition and praise they deserve. Don't seek to be the big boss man. Seek to be the lowest servant. I'll tell you an illustration, a story I heard this week about a University of Kentucky basketball player. He went out of his way to do something very kind for someone. They were hurt and they were suffering depression. He just went out of his way to be very kind to this person. And this person's mother wrote a letter to Coach Calipari. She just assumed he made him do it, you know. But he didn't know anything about it. He got this letter, and he gathered the team together. He read this letter to him. And he asked this kid, he said, how come you didn't tell us about this? You know, he said, I didn't know that was something you're supposed to talk about. He's 21 years old. Kid, would to God that would be our attitude. Shouldn't the attitude of a believer be at least that of an unregenerate 21-year-old? To seek to be helpful? And then be quiet about it. Now that was God's message to Haggai, to Israel. He said, you consider your ways. You seek the Lord first. And God gave them ears to hear. They considered their way. They repented. And buddy, they got to work building God's temple. And he blessed them for it. He showed them his glory. Now you seek these things first. And the Lord will be with you. And you'll see his glory. Now, I can't say this strongly enough. Don't do these things. Don't seek these things so that God will bless you, because that's works. Seek these things because they're right. Seek these things because they're God's way. I don't know if the Lord will bless us materially or physically. I don't know if he will or not. But I can promise you this. We'll have no spiritual growth, no spiritual blessing outside of God's way. No matter what happens, whether the Lord gives me blessings or not, I'd just a whole lot rather be an obedient child than a disobedient one, wouldn't you? And I don't want to do it to get praise or rewards from my Father. I want to do it because I love him. Now, shouldn't that be our way? Then consider your ways. Seek him first. All right, I hope the Lord will bless you.